This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by VeriSign. Enter the Make Your Idea Internet Official Contest. Register a new .com domain name with the participating registrar during the contest entry period and enter for an opportunity to win up to $35,000. Learn more about the contest and its rules at VeriSignContest.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz. My guest today is David Long. He is the founder and CEO of My Employees and author of Built to Lead, 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. So, David, thanks for joining me.
I'm glad to be here, John. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and a little bit of research I was doing. You have owned your business for what I think is quite some time now. And I'd love to hear a couple of things, just your entrepreneurial journey, kind of how you got to where you are today. And then just even a little bit, I think your business is a little bit unique. And I think people would enjoy just hearing about what My Employees does.
Sure. My Employees is, we're in the top 1% of in our industry in the employee engagement recognition industry in the U.S. and Canada, and we've been in business. This is our coming up on 26 years in July. We've completed, and I started the business in my mom and dad's garage. I tell people I didn't start my business from inspiration. I started from desperation. So I lost my job. I went through a great day. Went through 7 jobs in 3.5 years. Hated everything I did. That's because I was not meant to be an employee. I was meant to be an entrepreneur. So, yeah. Those are my people.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love the game of business. It's such a challenge, but it invigorates me. I love getting at it every day.
Well, so you gave me the generic kind of industry title. What does My Employees really do?
We do the employee engagement and recognition programs for over 12,000 active clients in the U.S. and Canada. In other words, we work with them, do employee engagement surveys. We also, once we figure out what the problem is, where the employees, we give the managers like a 10-question, what we call pulse, and then we give the employees a 35-question survey. And let's just say that the managers always think they're a lot better than they are, John.
Yeah.
And the employees bring them back to reality.
You know, so, I suspect that's probably true of most businesses and their customers, right? They think their customers are really happy, and you survey the customers and find that there's some chinks in the armor too.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So it's the same way. Once we figure out the issues, then we obviously, we're in the process of creating a series of videos. So if your survey came back, John, as you being the manager of the business, and your employees had said that you were weak in, say, module 3, 7, and 9, then we would give you those modules to help you realize this is what your employees said you need to work on, and let's fix these so that you get great scores across the board. So we do that. We also do the employee engagement, part of the recognition programs. We use plaques mostly in that regard, and we also have what we call spot-on cards, which are in between the monthly stuff. You know, from day to day or week to week, you have employees who want to recognize other employees, and we call little shout-out cards, and that works out great, too. It fills in the gaps because, you know, you recognize your top people. In our company, we have 48 employees, and we actually, matter of fact, had our employee recognition presentation this morning, and we have roughly 4 departments, and we actually were choosing 1 in each department, which averaged about 10 people in each department. But what we did this year is I just said, you know what? We have so many world-class people working with us that there's such sometimes, John, there's just like a micron of a difference between the top and the second. So I said, doggone it, let's just go with the Pareto principle, we'll do the 80-20 rule, and let's recognize the top 20%. So we're doing 2 now.
This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by HostGator, where you'll get 24/7 live support via chat, phone, email, one-click WordPress installs, easy-to-use website builder design services, and marketing services like SEO and PPC, and for my listeners, a 30% discount. Go to HostGator.com/promo/ducttape. I had, in fact, I think, depending upon when this show runs, I think there'll be back-to-back shows. The show after yours, Guy Kawasaki was on, with me talking about his book, The Art of the Start, and he does a lot of talking with startups. Huh? And there's a comment that he made, and I quite frankly, in the book, and I quite frankly agree with it, is that for a lot of entrepreneurs particularly, the hardest thing for them to learn is how to lead and motivate other people. You know, they have this great idea. Yep. They're geniuses themselves, maybe, but when they start a business that has to depend on all these other people, that's where they really fall down.
It is indeed. And that is the key to your success. I know you love, just like I do, Zig Ziglar's quote, you know, to get what you want in life, you must first help other people get what they want.
Yeah.
And that is what really, if you live by that mantra, if you will, man, you'll be immensely successful. Because when you put your people first, if you don't take very good care of your people, how in the world do you expect them to take good care of your clients?
So would you say that your book, Built to Lead, came as much out of just your own observations in growing your business? Or did it come somewhat from seeing what managers in all these companies that you serve, you know, the ones that really do well, what they do?
All of the above, John. You know, I've got a 35-year management career. I've been very fortunate. The book says top 10% manager. It says seven rewards principles for becoming a top 10% manager. And of course, that rewards is an acronym. But I have actually been blessed enough to become a top 1% in three different industries, separate, non-related industries, I might add, in my career. And I love the game, like I said. And I'm a student, and I constantly try to get better. Matter of fact, I read 3 to 4 hours every day. I only work on my company, not in it at all anymore. And I just build my people, and my people just do a phenomenal job for us.
Well, so in your opinion, and again, because you've probably seen the good, bad, and the ugly out there in organizations, people trying to put Band-Aids on things by using recognition, for example.
Yes.
So what is it that really stops people from succeeding at being, you know, great leaders?
Well, most of the time, it's surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, it depends on how you look at it, they're very insecure. Managers are too afraid to praise too much for two reasons. First of all, if I praise this person too much, they're going to come and ask me for more money.
Right.
Or I praise them too much, and they might start getting too big for their britches, and, you know, I don't want them outgrowing me.
Start asking for my job.
So, you know, one thing, a World at Work survey, and I mentioned this in my book, but the World at Work survey, they said for every 100 employees in any given company in the U.S., only 6 or 7 of those people ever get promoted to manager. And of those 6 or 7, less than one, John, ever gets promoted to the second level. So, I mean, there's a massive failure rate, and it's a disaster for our country. You know, the Gallup organization just really, really gives solid numbers on that. And they said that 70% of managers are disengaged or actively disengaged. So how can we expect our employees to be any different? You know, and here's what that goes to. 65% of employees said they had received no recognition from their manager in the last year. That's atrocious too.
Now, would you say that, I mean, some of that's the fault of, you know, like you said, insecurity and, you know, but isn't insecurity allowed and bred because you have kind of unhealthy cultures in a lot of organizations anyway? And so managers are kind of taught, you know, to act this way almost unknowingly.
I think they were taught that way, maybe unknowingly too, and that's what they, you know, more is caught than taught, as they say, when you're trying to raise your kids.
Yeah.
It's not so much what you say, it's what you do that they you know, learn from.
Right.
And it just passes down from generation to generation like that. I agree.
Do you think that that is something that is starting to go away? I mean, there used to be that this hierarchy in an organization was everything. I mean, the managers had a separate dining hall and they had bigger offices, you know, all the things that to kind of mark them as being the leaders, the most important folks. And I see certainly of this generation coming up today, I mean, they just won't tolerate that. I mean, the 25-year-olds, the 30-year-old, you know, superstars coming up today are saying, hey, we want to collaborate. Let's, you know, let's all just figure out how to get what needs to be done, done.
That's true. And one thing that the prior generations pretty much, there is no longer that 40 years, one career, get that golden watch and retire. Those days are over. And the young kids are very jaded, having seen what happened to their parents in the last generation. So, I mean, they know there's no loyalty there. I mean, it is immense amount of skepticism. You know, even within my own company, you know, with our 48 employees, when new people come in, you know, they're very suspicious of me or any employer. You know, we do in our company, we do what we call book club. Mm-hmm. And I buy books, John, and I pass them out. And I split the company into two groups, roughly 24 on Wednesday morning at 10 and the other 24 on Thursday morning at 10. We pass out the books. I say, read chapter one. Come back in here next Wednesday or Thursday and, you know, have your notes with you. And we discuss that, you know, mm-hmm. a good example of how, I would say a good strategy, of how our company has become such a bonded world-class group of highly engaged employees is because of Book Club. And I work with them. I'm my people, and they know I care about them. When I'm paying them to be in that room, when it costs me, right. you know, $60,000-$70,000 a year,
yeah.
For them to be in there. But you know, John, for your four of your employees to come to you after you read Dale Carnegie's book together, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and tell you that that book saved their marriage, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Buddy. Well, and I think it also goes to that that's one of the things that always drives me crazy. I mean, most of the folks I work with, we're talking about marketing, mm-hmm. And it's amazing how in organizations, how you know people expect people to deliver on the customer service promise or yes. you know, deliver on whatever it is, and they've never been told what the promise is or what the plan is or what the sure. strategy is. And I think that whole idea of education in every element is so crucial, and I Indeed. Think it's what people are looking for.
Absolutely.
One of the things that you talked about in your book that I think runs a little bit counter to what some people might suggest is this idea of, and I may not have this said exactly correctly, but investing in the people that are struggling as much as investing in those kind of people that you're like holding up as your shining lights. And, you know, there would be some that suggest that, you know, you focus all of your attention on that 20% and the 80% let them work it out for themselves.
And that is, you know, I definitely understand why they say that. I personally have the opinion that you work with the people that if you've hired them, John, you've got money invested in those people.
Yeah.
So let's fix them.
Yeah.
If we can't fix them, then we'll fire them. But I don't allow anybody to be on our team who's going to be pulling in the opposite direction. That's for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I've seen this over the years, how a lot of times that person that you're saying, oh, they need fixing. I mean, a lot of it sometimes comes down to they're just not. You're not asking them to do something that's in their unique ability.
That's true.
And boy, you find the right fit for them, and all of a sudden, they turn around overnight.
Yeah. John, one thing we do at our company that we've learned to do over the last decade, like I said, we've been in business 26 years this year, so obviously we didn't do it right out of the gate. But what we do is when someone says that they want to come work at us in a given department, mm-hmm. without paying them, before they even become an employee, we invite them to come in and sit or stand next to the person doing the job, mm-hmm. and incorporate them. I have my people, you know, incorporate them in and say, all right, let's try this. See what you think. You do it. Let's see if you like it.
Yeah.
Is this something you want to do? And we also, it's also an opportunity for the employee to kind of give their opinion later after they spend a few hours with that individual. Do you feel like, John, they're a good culture fit for us? What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
You know, so we involve heavily our existing employees. And let me tell you the success of having a really fully engaged team is that over three quarters of the employees at our company are there because that they've been referred by other employees. And our turnover rate is a joke. It's non-existent. And that's what I love. I mean, I'm spending a lot of money to train these people. I'm you know, in May of every year, we take the top third of our employees on what I call the champion strip, and they have numbers they have to hit to get to go. And when they do, we take, if they're married, we take their spouse too. Mm-hmm. But it's an all-expense trip, and we go out and we basically just spoil them a little bit. You know, sometimes it's cruises. Sometimes it's going to a resort. We're going to St. Martin this year. You know, sometimes we'll go out west. I took them to the Grand Canyon and Bryce Canyon, Zion National Park, those places out there. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bonding experience where they know I care about them. And I'm not there to show that, you know, I'm the boss. I'm just there to hang with my people and get to know them and to really just bond with them. And every year my people just fight like crazy to go on that.
It's a good incentive.
Yeah, and I pay them while they're gone too.
Are there a couple, if there's somebody's listening and saying, okay, give me two or three kind of quick things that you see all the time that if you just changed or you just added or you just started doing would make a significant difference in kind of engaging or empowering employees?
Well, first of all, they have to know you care.
Yeah.
The number one thing people want, and I don't care if they're employee or spouse or friend or family or whatever, they want to be shown that they are significant to you, that they matter, John. Mm-hmm. And that's critical. And when you take time with them, you know, there is no substitute for time. You can be a father who travels all the time and is never home, but you bring a present home to the kids. Sorry, not good enough. You know, that didn't work that way. You have to actually put the time in. And that's why I truly love the book club. And matter of fact, John, we've let people go in the past for various things. Sometimes they get too big for their britches when they start making a lot of money. That's happened a few times. And you know what? They want to come back. And when they request to come back, when the first thing's out of their mouth is, I miss book club. You know, because it is such a bonding experience. And we have people, it's not uncommon for people to tear up.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of months ago, I'm thinking two of our girls are just real sweet, and they're salespeople, both of them, Heather and Melissa. And both of them, Melissa had said that she, before she came to work with us, she was picking up cans on the side of the road to help supplement her income with the family. And Heather was very, well, she, I don't want to say she was very successful. She was doing makeup. She was, you know, a distributor for one of the companies. I don't want to say which, but, and she had a lot of inventory, but she was struggling and she was running up bills. And they got up and told, and tearfully, I might add, before everybody that was in the company, how much the company has meant to them and how their lives have changed as being a part of my employees. That's huge.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that obviously, that's, you know, even when I get emails from people that have read some of my books and talked about how, you know, what a difference it's made. I mean, it kind of it's the fuel for keeping you going doing some of this stuff, isn't it?
I read all your stuff. You're good. Thanks. I love it.
What are you currently reading in book club?
What are we? Actually, we're doing Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University for the second time, and that's another thing. You know, part of the reason we do a book club is because you have to focus on the entire individual.
Yep.
I don't just focus on the things that make them good in their job.
Right.
Like I said, we did Dale Carnegie's book. That's personal relationships, as you know, John.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave Ramsey, of course, it doesn't matter how much money you make, John. You can blow it, can't you? So we're helping, and we've already done it before, about 3 or 4 years ago. But we've grown the size of the company. Well, we've almost doubled the size of the company in that time period. So we've been growing in an average clip of over 20% a year for the last 15 years, currently up 38% for the year.
How do you, again, going back to the book, how do you suggest that people find and hire and keep, you know, good leaders?
Well, obviously, I think the best thing to do is build from within. And if you can't do it from within, you try to, you know, bring someone from outside. If people inside don't have the skill set, that's another thing we do. We encourage our people. As a matter of fact, one of the in the chapter in my book, in the acronym Rewards, the D is for duplication. And what we do primarily is, I'm sitting around, as we had our managers meeting every morning, we had it this morning, is it's not uncommon for my guys to hear me say, okay, Melanie, tell me, she's our sales manager. I say, Melanie, all right, God forbid something happens to you.
Yeah.
So who's the heir apparent? Who's the person that you believe should take your place? And she will tell me, as she did a few weeks back, and my question immediately after that, and they know it's coming, all right, what have you done lately to groom that individual? Because it may not be their position they end up taking. Right. It may be the position of another manager and within our company. We have such low turnover. We've only had one manager probably in the last 5 years get changed.
So I worked with a...
outside of growth, you know.
I worked with a company a few years ago that had a complete flat structure. I mean, they had departments, but every person rotated, I think it was every 90 days through as the manager.
Cross training.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. not only that, I mean, they worked in their own department, but they managed each other. So
sure.
In other words, you know, in 6 months from now, that person you're working with is going to be your manager.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I thought it was really pretty interesting. And he said the thing that it did is it did perform some cross training. It allowed him to, you know, to come up with some innovations. You know, somebody else did it a different way, and that was, you know, that was fresh and new. So I thought that was a really interesting approach.
It is. Let me tell you, when we go on our championship trip, every manager in the company goes on that trip. So that means no managers are back at the company. Mm-hmm. So, and our top people from every department, John, go on that trip. So here's the beautiful thing about making sure that everyone is thoroughly trained, cross-trained, and cross, you know, all that,
right.
Just to make sure they know what they're doing, is that when someone else is gone, someone can step in the spot.
Yeah.
And just almost without exception, some of the customer service positions like support, this does not apply, but just about every other position in the company, we have basically their compensation, if you will, is two-thirds of it is fixed. And the final third is at risk, is what I call it, in the form of a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So if they goof off, John, while we're on our trip,
right,
they shoot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
And not too many people want to do that.
So David, where can people find Built to Lead, or do you have you created? I know I saw on your site you've created some resources around the book.
Oh, yeah,
well.
Lots
so
of them.
Where would you send people?
You bet. I would say if they want to buy the book, then go to Amazon.
Sure.
And matter of fact, let me tell you this: the book is titled "Built to Lead" by David Long. And if your listeners will subscribers will go to Amazon, buy the hardback copy of the book, I will send them the Kindle version for free if they'll send me an email at David Long. At top10manager.com. And if you go to top10manager.com and go to the resources page, John, I have put a ton of stuff in there to help people build their business, better manage it, you know, build the right team, make sure they got the right people, as Jim Collins says on the bus,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of resources. And it's immense amount of stuff. You know, if you go there, there's like a video by Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. And there's like, good gracious, there's like a dozen resources on building a really good mastermind, which I'm a member of about four of them. And my goodness, that's phenomenal time well spent.
Yeah.
As you know, John, I don't tell you about it, but a lot of people don't really realize the power of a mastermind because they've never been in one, but my goodness.
Well, David, thanks so much for joining us today. Built to Lead, 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. And
thank you, John.
Best of luck, and maybe we'll run into you out there on the road.
I'm sure we will.